The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Josh Pick is the chief investment advisor with Aptus Wealth Management, a state-registered investment advisory firm. This program is sponsored by Aptus Wealth Management. Exposure to ideas and financial vehicles discussed should not be considered investment advice or recommendation to buy or sell financial vehicle. This information should not be considered tax or legal advice. Individuals should consult with professionals to see if any ideas expressed would fit their specific situation. Past performance is not a guarantee of future results. Securities can fluctuate and when redeemed may be more or less than when originally invested. Welcome to the Aptus Retirement Blueprint Show with Josh Pick. Every week, Josh will teach you ways to help manage risk and protect your retirement income in the new economy. The primary focus at Aptus Wealth is to provide flexible planning strategies that can efficiently achieve your long-term retirement goals.
I hope you're having a great weekend. Want to thank you for joining us this fine Saturday. You can always catch us here every weekend, but also wanted to let you know that you can also join Josh every Monday as well. He and Bruce Hooley talk Money Mondays at 12:30 p.m. every week right here on 98.9 The Answer. Let's start off this show. Josh, I saw a video on TikTok, and it broke down the numbers of a Roth IRA and actually recommended an indexed universal life policy is a much better option to accumulate cash value. What are your thoughts about that?
Well, I'm kind of curious why they said it was a better option on the TikTok video, but I got to be honest that I don't watch TikTok, so I don't know what their reasoning was behind it. But let's break down the differences between a Roth IRA and an indexed universal life insurance policy. And I would guess, so let's first set the stage, I would guess that the particular indexed universal life policy that we're talking about was what we would call an overfunded universal life insurance policy. And this is going to take a little bit of time, but I think it bears noting, kind of stepping back on how are different life insurance policies funded and what are the different types, et cetera. So there are many different life insurance policies. There's term life insurance policies, which I'm sure a lot of people that are listening had one of those at one point, or maybe they still do. And term is like renting insurance. So at some point in your life, you had a temporary need for insurance. Maybe it was protect your family, or in the event that something happened to you, you would pay off this particular debt. So you got this term insurance. There's no cash value to speak of. It's very temporary in nature. Then there are other permanent type policies, and those range from whole life insurance policies that I'm sure, you know, maybe your parents or your parents' parents had those. They're not as popular today as they were, say, 40 or 50 years ago. The more popular variety is something called universal life. And universal life is a whole life insurance policy of sorts, meaning that you can have it for the rest of your life. It provides a dual purpose, meaning there's a death benefit attached to it. So if something does happen to you, your beneficiaries would be taken care of with some form of a death benefit. But they can also grow cash value. And that cash value can be used. I'm sure you've heard that cash value inside of a life insurance policy, when properly structured, can be pulled out on a tax-free basis. That said, there are many different ways to fund a universal life insurance policy. You can put in as little premium as possible just to have the death benefit for the rest of your life, in which case your main motivation there would be death benefit. But there are other ways that you use universal life insurance. And the reason that you use it this particular way is for that tax-free income and retirement benefit. And that's called overfunding. So in this instance, the death benefit is almost ancillary. You didn't even really want it. Matter of fact, you don't want it so little that you're going to get as little possible death benefit as possible. So you're just going to take out the amount that you have to take out just to fall within the regs of the IRS to have this tax-free accumulation of cash value that you can pull out later on a tax-free basis. So why were they maybe on TikTok, of all places? But it is amazing how quickly that medium has grown, and we're talking about it here on the show. But why were they comparing and contrasting Roth IRAs, and why maybe universal life would be better than a Roth? Well, for the purposes of income, they both would come out tax-free. So these both would be vehicles where we could put money in, and then it grows tax-deferred on the gains, and I can pull out income off of both of these vehicles tax-free. So they're both, in that respect, lines in the tax code, essentially, that allow for that. However, an indexed universal life insurance policy has a couple of benefits that I could see that a traditional Roth doesn't have, and also some detriments. So one of the benefits would be Roth IRA, contributory Roth IRAs, have income limitations. So if you make too much money, you can't do it anyway. There are no income limitations on indexed universal life insurance policies. So that could be one huge benefit. The other is, even if you can qualify, the most that you can do inside of a Roth IRA on an annual basis, depending upon your age, is somewhere between $6,000 or $7,000 a year. Well, you can do as much as you want that the insurance company will allow you to do, at least, in the form of an indexed universal life insurance contract. So I have plenty of clients who are doing $50,000, even $100,000 contributions per year into an indexed universal life insurance policy. So you don't have any of the restrictions from income or contribution. Another added benefit, even though we don't necessarily want death benefit, you will have to have some. That's how you end up getting access to this cash-free or tax-free cash benefit down the line. So you have to have, by IRS regs, you have to have a certain amount of death benefit. Well, knowing that, let's say that we wanted to put $500,000 into this life insurance policy over the next 5 years. Well, in year one, we're only going to put in $100,000. Your death benefit is probably many multiples more than that. Whereas if you put that same amount in, if you could, which you can't, but if you could put $100,000 into a Roth IRA, well, then your death benefit would be $100,000 because there's no death benefit attached. So there are some added benefits. What are the detriments? Well, if not used appropriately and if not designed appropriately, the fees can be exorbitant when you look at indexed universal life insurance versus, let's say, a traditional Roth IRA invested in mutual funds. That said, if used appropriately and designed appropriately, they can have huge benefits and can really satisfy a need in an environment where I would say if we polled everybody listening today and said, where do you think tax rates are going, up or down? Everybody would say, or at least 99%, I would assume, would say, we believe tax rates are going up. So if you believe that, one of the huge obstacles in planning today is, how am I going to get tax-free income? Well, two things we just discussed, the Roth IRA and the indexed universal life insurance contracts, are two great ways to do that. But make sure that you design them appropriately. Contact our office and we'll make sure you don't make any mistakes and you get only the benefits, not the detriments.
And Josh's number is 614-364-7300. That's 614-364-7300. You are listening to the Aptus Retirement Blueprint Show with Josh Peck. So Josh, speaking of insurance, there's so many types out there. Can you help us sift through all the options and focus on the ones that make the most sense for people at different stages of life?
Yeah, so we touched on this just a little bit. There's term, which I'm sure, everybody's had at a certain point in their life. I still have term, and term satisfies a term or a temporary need. The benefit to term is it's incredibly inexpensive. So, if you look at somebody who might be 30 years old starting a family and they want $1 million term insurance policy, they can probably get that policy for well under $1,000 a year. So when you think about protecting your family with $1 million worth of coverage for, let's say, $25 or $50 a month, it certainly satisfies that need as inexpensively as possible. Now, the detriment to term is once you're done paying for this, let's say you had it for 20 years and you paid for 20 years, you literally just gave that money away. Now, the good news is you didn't die because, you actually benefiting from life insurance isn't necessarily something any of us want to do, but was it a good investment? It was a good protection element, but it was not an investment. All of the other forms of insurance, with the exception of adding a return of premium, of course, on term insurance, which you can do, but all the other forms of insurance build some sort of cash value. And again, I kind of hit on a couple of those, but there's whole life insurance, which is, think of it as a CD rate inside of your life insurance policy on the excess cash that you're paying in. There's indexed universal life, which has a tie to the upside potential of the market, but eliminates the downside risk. And then there's a pure variable indexed universal. And this is, again, just the way the cash value grows. The cash value might grow very, very similar to if you had invested it purely in equities and mutual funds, stocks, bonds, et cetera. Now, I cannot emphasize enough, though, Diane, how important it is to design life insurance appropriately. Life insurance can be a great vehicle for both protection and also providing a legacy, also doing estate planning, also even just for people who are trying to ignore all the things I just mentioned, but are very focused on creating a tax-free, efficient income in retirement. It can be a great tool for that. However, if designed inappropriately, and I'm sure that there's several people listening right now saying, you know what, I had a friend that designed a life insurance policy and it ended up being the worst investment that he or she ever made, or, you know, it ended up blowing up. They illustrated this thing at these crazy rates, and he didn't put in enough money or she didn't put in enough money, and it was going to run out of gas, and what a waste of time and investment and allocation of resources. And that's absolutely true. There's a bunch of those going on out there. As a matter of fact, I encourage everyone listening that has an Index Universal Life Insurance policy to contact our office to do nothing other than an audit of that policy and find out, do I have a good one or a bad one? Am I paying in enough to make sure that I'm not one of those terrible statistics where my policy runs out of gas and I had wasted all this money over the years, and when I needed it most, it wasn't going to be there for me? So do that. Call our office, let us audit your policy. But beyond that, if we are going to do a new one, a new contract for a specific reason, we want to make sure that we are designing that policy perfect. And fortunately, I have a whole staff in my office, and we do a lot of them, and we design them perfectly all the time.
And where are these people getting these policies that are a little wonky?
You know, it's not even necessarily a bad company issue. You know, a lot of people have great policies at great companies. It's just that they were illustrated inappropriately. So let me give an example. If you would have got a policy before regulation really took hold in the insurance industry, let's say back in the 80s. And if you remember back in the 80s, we've talked a lot about inflation and how interest rates are going up today. Well, we always reference back in the 80s, right? Because interest rates were 18, 20%. So if you would have illustrated a life insurance contract back in the 80s and you assumed that it was going to grow at 16% interest for the duration of the policy, but it's only been earning 4 or 3, that's going to have a pretty damaging effect on what that life insurance policy actually performs like. And if the premiums were designed around that 16% and now it's only earning 3 and you're still paying the same amount of premium, that policy might actually run out of gas. And by run out of gas, I mean it might actually lapse, which would mean not only would you lose the cash value, but you lose the death benefit. There are ways to restructure those old policies, sometimes not even moving them, but just restructure them as they sit to change the premium amount, change the death benefit. There's a myriad of things we can change to make sure that you get the most out of that policy moving forward. Sometimes, unfortunately, Diane, it requires, you know, going through underwriting and getting a new contract, but I would certainly rather jump through a few hoops to get the most bang for my buck than find out when I reach 65, you know, 5 or 10 years from now, that this thing that I had that I thought was going to be one of my greatest resources ended up being the anchor behind the boat. So name of the game in our business is always being proactive, trying to improve your situation consistently, repetitively. Have our office help you do that.
Okay. And your office will help people audit their existing policies. And for listeners to schedule an appointment to do just that, Josh's number is 614-364-7300. That is 614-364-7300. As well, if you'd like to schedule an appointment to go through the Aptus Blueprint process as well. You can always join Josh as he talks retirement with Bruce Hooley every Monday at 12:30 p.m. right here on 98.9 The Answer. You can always find the recording at aptuswealth.com. More with Josh Pick when we come back.
If you're concerned about the market and you want to learn new strategies to manage retirement risks, call our office to learn more about the Aptus Retirement Blueprint today at 614-364-7300. There's no cost or obligation, but space fills fast. Give us a call at 614-364-7300. That's 614-364-7300.
To create a successful retirement plan in today's economy, it takes a customized, solutions-based approach. At Aptus Wealth Management, founder Josh Pick calls it the Aptus Blueprint, and it's focused on managing risk instead of chasing returns. If you're working with another advisor or simply want a second opinion, put his team to work for you. To schedule a complimentary consultation to learn more about the Aptus Blueprint process, contact Josh at 614-364-7300 or visit aptuswealth.com. There is no cost or obligation, but space is limited. To start your plan, call 614-364-7300 or visit aptuswealth.com.
Thanks for listening to the Aptus Retirement Blueprint Radio Show with Josh Pick. To schedule your complimentary customized planning session, give Josh a call at 614-364-7300. That's 614-364-7300.
Welcome back to the Aptus Retirement Blueprint Show with Josh Pick. To schedule your own planning session and to learn new strategies to manage risk, call Josh at 614-364-7300. That's 614-364-7300. Josh, how different can it be when planning for a semi-retirement compared to full retirement?
It can be significantly different, or at least there's a few things that you have to kind of keep your eye on to make sure that you don't mess up along the way, which we'll get into individually. But before we do that, I think it's important to note that this, I don't want to call it a phenomenon, but this change or this morphing of the retirement market is becoming very normal. Matter of fact, every research study that I've seen here as of late, particularly post-COVID, is that if an employer offers the option to go to a semi-retirement status as opposed to full retirement, more than 50% of retirees would take up the employer on that option. So this concept of kind of slowly reducing hours and going into retirement rather than pulling the band-aid off and just retiring fully is becoming very, very common. So I think, you know, the things that we're going to cover right now are probably pretty important to a lot of people listening. And the biggest two that I would say, and then we can get into the littler pieces, but the biggest two are Social Security and how do I withdraw money from my qualified accounts dependent upon age. And Social Security, the reason that this is important is oftentimes I'll have somebody come into my office, and this is the story is almost always the same. Story goes something like this. I'm 62 years old. I was going to work all the way until I was 65, purely for the health benefits. But I did some math, and my employer is going to allow me to go part-time and still keep my health benefits, so that's great. And if I, even at part-time, if I just work part-time and then collect my Social Security at the same time, because I can, because I'm eligible now that I'm 62, if I do both those together, it's like I'm making the same amount of money anyway, so I'm good. Well, there's a problem there. And the problem is this. If you're under full retirement age and you make approximately $20,000 or more, I believe it's $19,560 or $780 or something like that, but it's almost $20,000. If you make more than that from earned income from your job, for every $2 you make over that threshold, the government will take a dollar of your Social Security back. So where does that become challenging? Well, you probably won't even feel it in the first year because the IRS isn't going to know, nor is the Social Security Administration going to know that you've made too much money until you file your taxes the following year. At which point you'll get this nice little love letter from the Social Security Administration that says, we're sorry to inform you, but you made, you know, $20,000 more than you were supposed to last year. So that's a dollar for every two. We're going to reduce your Social Security benefits by $10,000 divided by 12 over the following year, plus reduce them moving forward, assuming that you're going to make the same amount of money. Or you can send us a check for 10 grand and we'll call it even. It's a terrible position to be in. So make sure that you understand how Social Security works. And Diane, I'm going to, you know, say what you usually say at this point, and that is, you know, how do we know all these crazy rules? Well, obviously call our office and we're happy to walk you through all the rules. But there's another rule that is a kind of you retired too early. Great problem to have that you believe that you can semi-retire earlier. But there is that 59 and a half rule. Remember your 401ks, your IRAs, your 403bs. You get that beautiful tax deferral along the way. But then in order to not get penalized for that benefit of tax deferral, you have to wait until you're 59 and a half. And if you pull money out pre-59 and a half, with the exception of some benefits that were granted to us during COVID, but now moving forward, if you pull out money pre-59 and a half, not only do you have to pay taxes on it, but you have to pay a 10% penalty. Now, with all of these things, if you're you know, like me, you automatically go, there's got to be a way around this. There's got to be some sort of regulation or some sort of ancillary way that I can get around this. And the answer is there are ways to get around a lot of these things. So am I suggesting that you don't retire, semi-retired age 55, even though that's really what's in your heart and it's what you want to do. And you know, you have the financial ability to do it. You just got to figure out these hurdles. By all means, retire then. All I'm suggesting is there are some gotchas along the way, and make sure you consult our office, consult somebody who knows, and make sure that you don't get caught in some of these little traps that seem like, well, why would they do that? I don't know why they would do that, but that's the way that it works. So make sure that you understand the rules and you don't get caught.
And you would think that the government would want you to work longer and they wouldn't penalize you for that. That's what common sense would assume.
And we are seeing some of that, Diane. So, for example, minimum required distributions. There's been a very unanimously passed bill. It still has to get signed off, of course, but that's going to kick the can on when you have to take minimum required distributions. Remember, it used to be 70 and a half. Now it's 72. And now it looks like you're not going to have to start taking out those minimum required distributions. And those are those pesky payments that the IRS requires you to take out of your deferred money until 73, 74, maybe even 75. And why would they do that? Well, because it allows people to let their money grow longer and work longer. So on one hand, Diane, the government's agreeing with you. They are saying, we want you to work longer. We know that there's a retirement crisis. We know that certain people are just going to need to simply work longer to be able to retire. But on the other hand, they're saying, that's great. But at the same time, we don't want you doing X, Y, and Z. And that doesn't necessarily always make sense. What does make sense is that you understand what the waters look like that you need to navigate, and you avoid the big waves. So make sure that you understand what those rules are. We're happy to help you along the way.
And Josh's number is 614-364-7300, 614-364-7300. Josh, working in retirement can also mean, you know, starting something new. Retirees have been starting businesses in the past few years. What are the most important factors for people and couples running a business in retirement to consider?
Well, it is very, very common. I mean, I would say, again, much like the, you know, the semi-retired status that we're seeing, COVID has really triggered a lot of people into going at it alone. You know, whether they were laid off or right-sized or downsized or furloughed or whatever word you want to call it during COVID, they're recognizing that maybe I want to be a little bit more in control of my own destiny. So we're seeing a huge shift in people who are operating businesses. We're also seeing a huge shift in couples that are starting businesses. And I guess my advice to those people would be not much different than if somebody said they wanted to start a business with any partner. Now, I'm not trying to, you know, minimize the fact that this is with your partner, not just any partner. And I get that there's some things to be challenged there, but you know, the same things apply. Make sure that you have a shared vision. Make sure that you're both on the same page as to what direction you see this business going. I think if one spouse is saying, we can turn this into the next Google, and the other one's saying, I just want to make a few extra bucks, that's a problem. Work approach. You know, if you have one person that's a fly by the seat of their pants and the other person that needs to be very regimented and detailed, you better iron those things out ahead of time or you're going to have some resentment along the way. And then, you know, I would say, as with all businesses, and I've started a few, once you get past the how am I going to structure the business, you know, is it best to be an LLC or an S Corp or, you know, an LLC taxes an S Corp? And clearly you want a great team of, you know, a CPA and maybe even attorney on your side to make sure you're making those choices right. I think you should start, and this is for people who maybe haven't started a business before, you should start really planning for what would make this work and what are my biggest obstacles. Meaning, let's start with some worst case planning. What would happen to completely be catastrophic and potentially cripple this business? And in that event, what are we really out? In other words, I'm in a services business. I don't really need to create a lot of infrastructure. The upfront costs aren't that significant. We're going to take a shot at it. If it fails, what are we really out other than maybe a bruised ego? Or we're thinking about starting a restaurant and we're going to have to put our life savings into this. And we have no idea how to run a restaurant. It just feels like the right thing to do. I'm not suggesting that either one's better than the other, but what I am suggesting is the worst case scenario planning, I would argue, is significantly different. Losing your life savings versus a couple months of your time, two completely different things. And then to that end, make sure that both of you understand where your stop point is. I've seen a lot of businesses, not just in recent years, but over the years, really cause some significant problems at the household level because one person was willing to ride that train longer than the other. Meaning that, and I don't want to, again, we're just on, you know, worst case scenario planning. I've seen plenty of businesses succeed and thrive, but all right, we're willing to really pony up 200 grand. And when the 200 grand is gone, it's gone. And it didn't work. And we need to be okay with that. But I've seen a tremendous amount of resentment, animosity. You know, quite frankly, some spousal scenarios really get rough to the point of breaking because somebody said, no, I'm going to ride this all the way to the beach. And the other person just wasn't willing to do so. So like all things, Diane, I'm getting really long-winded in. Make sure you're on the same page. Make sure you have a good team in place. Make sure that you've thought through all of the ifs and thens.
This is good stuff. What about, you know, a lot of spouses work in, you work in the corporate world, and then all of a sudden you start a business and nobody really has developed management skills. So one spouse is really shocked at how the other person is kind of dealing with employees.
Yeah, you know, I've seen a couple of things. One, you know, people are in corporate America, and this is no fault to anybody that's in corporate America, but there's a big machine there, right? You know, I'll use my wife's company as an example. You know, they have, they're not even a, what I would call a big company, but they have, you know, 100 employees. Well, when you have 100 employees, you have, well, my computer doesn't work. So I have an IT department. I have an HR concern. There's an HR department. I have a managerial concern. Well, there's a manager over your department if you're not it, right? I have a question about my benefits. There's a person for that. There's just a person for everything. And when you start your own business, you are the HR department. You're the housekeeping. You're everything. And I think that can be a jostle for some people in corporate America. The other thing that I've seen is people in corporate America who run divisions. They run departments. They go, well, if I was on my own, I could light this on fire. Well, remember, you don't have a name. And you don't have an endless budget. And that can be challenging. So getting everybody on the same page, like, hey, I appreciate that you've been able to run, you know, these multi-divisional corporations with million-dollar budgets, but we're now down to a $20,000 annual budget, and that's a big difference. So no, we can't just throw money down the drain. And you're right. It can, if both people aren't on the same page, it can careen out of control both monetarily and conceptually pretty quickly.
To schedule an appointment to go through the Aptus Blueprint process, Josh's phone number is 614-364-7300. That is 614-364-7300. And you can always join Josh as he talks retirement with Bruce Hooley every Monday at 12:30 p.m. right here on 98.9 The Answer. That's also besides this show every weekend. You can find the recording at aptuswealth.com. And we'll have more with Josh Pick when we come back.
Thanks for listening to the Aptus Retirement Blueprint Radio Show with Josh Pick. To schedule your complimentary customized planning session, give Josh a call at 614-364-7300. That's 614-364-7300.
Welcome back to the Aptus Retirement Blueprint Show with Josh Pick. To schedule your own planning session and to learn new strategies to manage risk, call Josh's office at 614-364-7300. That is 614-364-7300. Josh, we're all dealing with the pain of inflation right now, but what can the cumulative effect down the line be? For instance, if people are financing when they usually wouldn't, or if they're taking out loans or putting more and more on credit cards.
Yeah, this seems to ebb and flow, and I feel like we're in one of those ranges right now. If you think back to like 2001, 2002, 2008, 2009, right around those times, one synonymous thing that you could look at with all of those times is credit was rather inexpensive prior to, the economy was doing really well prior to, and people started to stretch themselves a little thin because the economy was doing so well that why would we not assume that it will continue to do that well? And why wouldn't I borrow the money at X percentage? Because I'm clearly, as long as my income keeps growing, why would I be concerned? It's fixed interest versus a variable income. Perfect. I win. Unfortunately, things don't always go up And unfortunately, our lives aren't as straight-lined as that, right? I'm sure you've heard many times, you know, well, if it's going to happen, it's probably going to happen to me. Or, you know, things are always crazy. The only constant has changed. The list goes on with all of the sayings that we have. But we always feel like they're not going to apply to us. And I think we're staring at one of those. We're looking down the barrel of the gun right now. And that is, rates are still relatively low. The housing market is exploding. The jobs market, you know, you can't even find people. I mean, the biggest challenge of employers right now is finding good quality people to work for them. So as an employee, you kind of write your own ticket to a certain degree. So things from somebody who has skills to offer, for somebody who has a home that maybe they've refinanced, for somebody who has a good income, things are very good right now, you could argue. And I know there's a lot of people listening that are probably saying, well, things aren't that good for me. There's certainly parts of the economy that are struggling. I'm not suggesting otherwise. However, this staring down the barrel of a gun that I'm talking about is people are financing because inflation is growing. They're financing a lot of things that maybe they wouldn't have financed before because their thought process is, if I don't buy it today, it's just going to cost 10% more in a year. So why wouldn't I buy it today and finance it, even though maybe I don't have the money? I'll be able to pay it off over time, and I'd rather pay off less than what it would cost in the future. And while that theory might sound logical, there's some things that can happen that would really challenge that. For example, let's say that you're stretching your disposable income a little bit to go buy that X, whatever it is, car, couch, you know, remodel on the home. You're stretching yourself to do that, but you can afford the payments today. Well, let's say that you don't get a raise like you thought you were going to get, and now the impact of inflation has caused the price of to heat your home, cool your home, fill your gas tank at the pump, put groceries on the table, take a vacation, all those things start going through the roof. You could, even more than they are today, you could really put yourself in quite a pickle there. And now, was it really such a good idea? Now you're asset rich in that you have purchased these things, but your cash flow poor because you still owe money to the bank for these things. So I would caution folks, and there's a whole other, you know, sector of the population in my space that touts, you know, no debt, no debt, no debt. Think of the Dave Ramseys of the world. And there's certainly things that I agree with Dave. And, you know, one of these would be, while I don't agree that everybody needs no debt, I would agree with him that you need a reasonable and manageable level of debt so that you don't get yourself in a problem in the event of these inflationary times or in the event of losing a job and you lose everything as a result of that debt. So I agree with him there. And I think that we might be staring down a barrel of that gun where people are getting a little bit too leveraged on items that they couldn't afford, nor did they really need, but they're justifying because of inflationary pressures.
This is the Aptus Retirement Blueprint Show with Josh Pick. To schedule your own planning session and to learn new strategies to manage risk, call Josh at 614-364-7300. That is 614-364-7300. So talking about credit, Josh, along those lines, credit scores are an integral part to everyone's financial picture. Unless you do listen to Dave Ramsey's of the world, what can we do if we find mistakes on our credit reports? Like, how can we fix that?
Well, I mean, first, you know, you kind of joked, you know, Dave Ramsey, if you have no debt, then you don't have to worry about credit. And you certainly have less problems than if you have too much credit and too much exposure. But having a good credit score is critical for a number of things. I mean, who's to say what good credit could get you? I mean, certain insurance companies just on your auto insurance are looking at your credit now to rate your auto insurance. So clearly having good credit rather than no credit or even worse, bad credit is of value. So it's important to check your credit periodically. Now, do I think that you need to attach every credit protection element agency onto your credit that and pay $50 a month to make sure that, you know, nobody's, no, I don't think you need to do that. But what I am suggesting is periodically take a peek. And you will find mistakes. I found mistakes on my own credit report in the past. And, you know, some of those would be as simple as, you know, my sister and I's Social Security number is very similar and our initials are very similar, at least on her maiden name. So, you know, at one point, her entire credit situation got slapped onto my credit report as a result of that because they thought I had an alias, which I wish I was cool enough to have an alias, but I assure you I don't. So, you know, that was one thing that I caught. Now, interestingly, it didn't really negatively affect my credit all that much that I even would have noticed unless I went through and just took a quick peek at what's on my credit report. Do I still have this crazy, you know, old student loan that I had paid off a long time ago that for whatever reason didn't get discharged off my credit report. I think it's important to take a peek at that stuff. And where could you improve it? Find out how it works and how can I help fix my credit report?
And you get if one you, free every year too, by the way. You get a free credit report.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, there's a million different ways you can get your credit report for free. Or if you went to, you know, purchase a car and they ran it, just ask for a copy for it. They'll give it to you. But nevertheless, if you do find an issue, how do you solve it? Well, first, it's kind of a pain in the butt. I'm not going to lie to you. But you need to write a letter essentially saying that this is the error in my credit report. This is what I've found. This is not okay. And of course, you need to have, you know, proof who you are and that kind of stuff. But you can contact the credit agencies and then mail that letter off with the dispute. And there's, you know, three or four predominant credit agencies, and you should mail it off to all of them. And it takes time, but ultimately it will fall off. Now, if you find something that's, you know, somewhat questionable or something that looks like maybe somebody stole your ID, well, then that's obviously critical as well. And you should freeze your account, et cetera. But if it's as simple as just, yeah, they forgot to get rid of this credit. I discharged this credit a long time ago. Then just write in the letter and get it solved. But again, all this starts with, like we echo so often here, Diane, is be proactive. Take a look. Make sure there's nothing on there that shouldn't be.
To schedule an appointment to go through the Aptus Blueprint process, the Aptus office number is 614-364-7300. That's 614-364-7300. And just a reminder, besides this show every weekend, you can also join Josh every Monday at 12:30 p.m. He joins Bruce Hooley for Money Mondays right here on 98.9 The Answer. More with Josh Pick when we come back.
To create a successful retirement plan in today's economy, it takes a customized, solutions-based approach. At Aptus Wealth Management, founder Josh Pick calls it the Aptus Blueprint, and it's focused on managing risk instead of chasing returns. If you're working with another advisor or simply want a second opinion, put his team to work for you. To schedule a complimentary consultation to learn more about the Aptus Blueprint process, contact Josh at 614-364-7300 or visit aptuswealth.com. There is no cost or obligation, but space is limited. To start your plan, call 614-364-7300. 7300 or visit aptuswealth.com.
Thanks for listening to the Aptus Retirement Blueprint Radio Show with Josh Pick. To schedule your complimentary customized planning session, give Josh a call at 614-364-7300. That's 614-364-7300.
Welcome back to the Aptus Retirement Blueprint Show with Josh Pick. To schedule your own planning session and to learn new strategies to manage risk, call Josh at 614-364-7300. That's 614-364-7300. Josh, how many people have made pretty big mistakes over the past few years that they'll be digging out of for years? Have you seen many cases of folks who've made downright ugly retirement moves recently because of, let's say, uncertainty in the pandemic?
So I wouldn't say that I've seen any retirement moves that have been downright ugly in the way of people allocating, you know, reallocating and really making some poor decisions on how they're allocating. But what I have seen that I think is downright ugly is a lot of people have either postponed retirement objectives or they have withdrawn a tremendous amount of money. Now, let me add some caveats to that, withdrawn a tremendous amount of money. So during COVID, you had the option to withdraw some money without the 10% penalty. And a lot of people took the government up on that offer. And there were a bunch of different camps on why they did that. And for some of them, let's just acknowledge that some of them lost their jobs and really needed the money. And I am not speaking to those people. What I am speaking to is if you didn't take the money out to do a Roth conversion or something cool with it, or you decided, well, I'm going to take that money out and pay taxes at today's rates and invest it back. And it was, almost a business decision. I'm not speaking to you either. Who I am speaking to is some of the ugly decisions that I've seen made is the first $15,000 I took out because I really needed it. The second $15,000 I took out because I just didn't want to change my lifestyle at all and I took a job that wasn't quite paying as much. The third $15,000 was because, you know, we decided that since we'd been cooped up during COVID, we were going to take a vacation and we decided to blow it out of the box because we didn't have, you know, a vacation the year prior. So we spent $15,000 on the vacation as opposed to $7,500 or whatever the numbers were. And then the fourth $15,000 was, and what I've seen, Diane, is people repetitiously take money out of their 401ks. because of reasons that weren't a matter of emergency. It was because the money seemed easy and accessible. And what's the problem with that? Well, we've talked about that rule of 72 a million times on the show. And, you know, what it says is that if you get a 7.2% rate of return, your money doubles every 10 years. If you get an 8% rate of return, your money doubles every 9 years, and so on and so forth. But let's just say, for argument's sake, that you had $100,000 that you took out of an account. You're in your 30s, and you had 30 more years at least until retirement, maybe even 40. Or maybe you need 40 years until retirement now because of the amount of money that you took out of your 401k, and here's why. Over the next 30 years, that $100,000 would be worth $200,000, $400,000, $800,000. So while you took out $100,000 for today's reasons and said, well, no big deal, that no big deal was worth probably $1 million by the time you retired. Can that thwart your long-term goals? A lot. And I saw that happen quite often. The other thing that I've seen happen that I think is arguably as concerning, if not more concerning, is this general uncertainty in the market, this general uncertainty about the future of the economy, the general uncertainty about inflation. And again, I'm not speaking to people who simply don't have the disposable income to save. I'm not speaking to those people. I'm speaking to people who were saving, they quit saving for whatever reason, and now they're not saving again. And let's think about how big, I read a stat recently, how big that populace is. So about 40% of the general population put their retirement planning on hold during the pandemic. They just stopped doing retirement planning. So let's just say that approximately half of all Americans, as a result of the pandemic, put their retirement planning completely on hold. Now, I could say that that's okay. I get it. It was a very uncertain time, filled with a lot of changes and twists and turns and navigating issues we had to deal with at home and working from home. And there were a lot of things to tussle with. So putting on a hold is okay. Maybe not the best decision, but it's okay. But this is the more important fact that we found. And that is that nearly half of those people have said that they do not even see a point in starting that savings back up until things return to, quote, normal. This is the big problem. What is normal? Normal is things going back to the way that they were, which I think we can all agree, things are never going back exactly to the way that we were. And that's a good thing. A lot of people are able to work remote now that weren't before. That's a great byproduct of the COVID pandemic. A lot of things have changed. You know, we can live further outside of the cities because we don't have to commute. And there's been gas prices, actually, although they've gone up, maybe your gas expenditures per month have gone down because you're not driving. So there's a lot of benefits to things not going back to the way that they were. However, saying that things have changed so much that there's no point in saving money towards your future goals until things go back to quote unquote normal is a self-fulfilling prophecy that leads to nowhere good. So it is critical, and I think downright ugly, if people are not, using your words, are people are not getting back on the retirement and planning for future goal bandwagon. Because if you've already taken money out of your retirement accounts, you're not replacing that, and things do get bad again, what's your backstop? You've used your backstop, perhaps, up to this point. Make sure you get back in the saddle and start saving towards the future goals that you've decided, and make sure that you have a plan moving forward so that you don't get caught with another downturn with your pants down, essentially. Make sure that you're doing your planning.
Well, and people don't, they take it out thinking, oh, I'll pay it back. And as you say, nobody ever does that.
Well, I mean, statistically speaking, so I don't like dealing anecdotally with my thoughts and feelings. I'm going to deal statistically. Statistically, people do not pay it back. Just like statistically, we've heard this, you and I and the producer Mike were talking about this offline. One of the challenges I have with this debt-free lifestyle ideology is, what is the first thing that someone does as soon as they pay off their car?
They go buy a new car,
right? So the thought process would be, I'm going to pay off this car. I'm going to bank my monthly payments. So whatever I was paying before, I'm going to continue to write that check to myself in a savings account. And then the next time I need a car, I'll just pay cash. That's a great ideology. That's a great approach. Most people don't actually follow through with it. Well, similarly, when people take money out of their retirement accounts, they say, I'll pay it back. But statistically speaking, that doesn't happen.
And for the people that stopped their retirement during COVID, did they need to? Is it because they lost their jobs? Or were they just thinking, oh, I'm going to save it in case things get worse?
that's what I was getting at before. You know, I don't know the demographic split there. And I'm certainly not, you know, speaking down or analyzing or begrudging people who, you know, listen, if you have two or three kids and there's two wage earners that are required to run that household and one of them lost their jobs and couldn't find a job for a year and a half, clearly these are difficult times that require some difficult decisions to be made. And one of those decisions could be, we need to take some money out of a place where we have money, and that is a retirement account. I totally get that. I would actually argue that perhaps that makes a lot of sense, depending upon your situation. But I think that the money got readily accessible, and people started perhaps buying things they didn't need, taking money out that they didn't necessarily need, because of the uncertainty. We do interesting things in times of uncertainty. And I think that can get out of control, and statistically, you don't put the money back. So you probably, unless you get aggressive now and you start planning now, you probably kick the can on your own retirement for a few years.
And what about when the market has a lot of volatility and the market's down and people just pull out their money because they panic?
Again, statistically, it happens all the time. Is that the right approach? You know, if you believe that you should buy low and sell high, like we all, everybody listening to this show knows that you should buy things for less than what you sell them for, and that's how you make money. Well, the same is true in the stock market. Our own investor behavior does not point in that direction. Our investor behavior points in the direction that emotionally we do the exact opposite. Matter of fact, we call it the behavior gap in our world, the financial behavior gap. And what that means is, if you look at the overall market and you say the market did 10% over a period of time, the average investor will do a fraction of that because of their own behaviors, not because of the investments that they were in, et cetera. Now, we also know statistically that there's a lot of analysis that's been done that people who work with financial professionals usually pick better funds, but I would argue even more importantly, are able to weather those storms better and actually realize better returns. Statistically speaking, if you look, and there's been a lot of research on this, and don't believe me, go look it up. Statistically speaking, people who work with fiduciary investment advisors overall in the long run do better. And there's a whole lot of reasons for that, but one of them is just simply preventing you from doing exactly what you just said. Should you be pulling money out of these accounts right now, or is there a better way to handle it? There's probably a better way to handle it, and that's going to save you in the long run. Should you be pulling the money out of the market right now because of the fear that you're feeling? Probably not, so there's a better way to handle that. It's that level of guidance, and it's that level of almost hand-holding and making sure that we uncover every stone rather than knee-jerk reacting that makes a huge, huge difference in the long run.
This is the Aptus Retirement Blueprint Show with Josh Pick. To schedule your own planning session and to learn new strategies to manage risk, call Josh at 614-364-7300. That's 614-364-7300. Josh, speaking of the long-term effects of the pandemic, long-haul COVID has understandably been on the minds of many recently. Have you found that people are concerned to a point where they are thinking about possible long-term healthcare needs in their golden years?
I don't know that, while I can agree that COVID has changed so much about the way that we view the world, the way that we view, you know, international relations, the way that we view, you know, countries, the way that we view our future taxes, inflation, investing, et cetera. It's definitely changed our perspective on a lot of things. I don't know that it's necessarily changed the view of my average client in relation to healthcare. I don't know if that's justified or unjustified, but I think where it's really changed the views of the clients that I encounter on a day-to-day basis is, what does the future look like for all of our entitlement programs and taxes? The big concerns that I hear coming into my office are, as a result of COVID, what does the future of our tax landscape look like? There's no question that we spent a tremendous, almost mind-blowing amount of money. When you start talking about throwing around or printing trillions of dollars, that is a mind-blowing amount of money. What does that mean for the future of my tax situation as I enter into the next 10, 20, 30 years? The other thing that I've heard a lot of is it going directly in line with that printing of money or spending of money. What does inflation look like over the next 10 years or so? What impact is that going to have on the market? What impact is that going to have on the goods and services that I purchase? What impact is that going to have on interest rates? Because we're already seeing that the Fed's starting to raise interest rates to try and combat inflation, and it sounds like they're going to continue to do that more and more and more throughout the remainder of the year. What does that do for my retirement picture? Do I have enough money saved to outpace inflation, and where should I put that money to outpace inflation? And is Social Security going to be around for the rest of my life? I've been paying into it my whole life. I've been banking it on my whole life. But is it going to be around? And then almost lastly is Medicare. Now, why I think that's interesting, Diane, is if you look at Medicare and Medicaid, they're arguably more underfunded based upon future draws than Social Security is. So if you're concerned about Social Security, you almost in tandem have to be concerned about the future of your health insurance benefits. Now, the most common argument that I hear back to that is the federal government cannot remove the health care benefits of the people in the United States. It would be political suicide. Okay, I can agree with that. But what can happen is those benefits can change. We would agree with that. And what we do know is that baby boomers are retiring left and right, constantly, right? More people retire over the next several years than ever in any previous years. And there's one thing that we know, and that is our statistically, our need for going into long-term care is pretty significant. I've seen stats as high as, you know, there's about a 1 in 2 shot that everybody listening, myself included, you too, Diane, will need at some point some form of long-term care. And right now, we all have a backstop to that long-term care plan. And that backstop is Medicaid. If we run out of money, the government picks it up. But knowing how underfunded everything is, can we count on that forever? And I don't know the answer to that question, but what I do know is there's two ways you can handle it. You can cross your fingers and hope, or you can be proactive and plan. And in our office, obviously, you know that we prefer the proactive and plan approach. So, you know, as we look at all these things, you know, you had brought up specifically is the increased awareness, you know, with possible long-term healthcare needs been kind of elevated? Maybe a little bit, but I think that there's a lot of things that have been elevated as a result of COVID. We talked about a couple of them: taxes, the market, inflation, and healthcare, entitlement programs, all of those things. We have to come up with a proactive approach to plan for all of those things so our plan isn't a dream. And a dream is just crossing your fingers and hoping that it's all going to be great. And a lot of people seem to be very comfortable doing that. And I'm not saying you should give up on your optimism. Clearly, we want to be optimistic about our future. However, let's plan for it. So I can't encourage people enough to get that level of empowerment, that level of comfort and understanding and feeling better about your future through planning. So, you know, all I can promise you is our office will work tirelessly to make sure that you're aware of all those obstacles, and we have mitigated them as much as possible so nothing comes as a sheer surprise, and we've done the best possible job that you can. I mean, nothing is guaranteed in life, but you can certainly mitigate risks as much as possible, and that's our job here.
Let's go through the Aptus Blueprint process that you go through with clients when they call you.
Yeah, that process part obviously is about maximizing your gains, but largely it's about mitigating risk. So what we're going to do through that process, and it's a 3 or 4 step process. Meeting number one, we just call it a discovery meeting. What's the purpose of that meeting? To discover or find out everything we possibly can about you, your goals, and what you've been doing so far to try and reach those goals. Meaning, where are you saving? What's your portfolio look like? Or maybe, you know, you're just off to the races. You're just getting started. How can we get you off on the right path? Secondly is the analysis meeting. So through that analysis meeting, we're going to tell you if you keep on doing what you're doing, is your arrow going to hit the target, yes or no? And what are some potential speed bumps along that road to retirement that could get in your way? And what are you maybe missing? The third meeting we call the blueprint. And the blueprint is just that. We will give you a financial blueprint on what your situation looks like today, what improvements you need to make in order to make sure that your financial house is completely in order, solid and stable. And then not until meeting number 4, if you're waiting for the shoe to drop for us to sell you something, you'll learn very quickly that's just not who we are. Not until meeting 4 do we decide, is this a mutually beneficial relationship to move forward on? And at that point, you'll become a client and we'll be meeting quite often for a long, long time to make sure that we're improving everything that we possibly can year in and year out.
Josh's number is 614-364-7300. That's 614-364-7300. 800-800-3800. Josh's website is aptuswealth.com. Thanks, everyone, for joining us this week. We will be back the same time, same place next Saturday.
You've been listening to the Aptus Retirement Blueprint Radio Show with host Josh Pick. Josh helps guide his clients through retirement by managing risk instead of chasing returns. He calls it a blueprint, and you can get started at no cost or obligation. Give the team at Aptus Wealth a call today to schedule your consultation at 614-364-7300. That's 614-364-7300 or online at aptuswealth.com. That's aptuswealth.com. To learn strategies to manage risk in the new economy, join us again next weekend right here at 98.9 The Answer. Any comments regarding safe and secure investments and guaranteed income streams refer only to fixed insurance products. They do not refer in any way to securities or investment advisory products. Fixed insurance and annuity product guarantees are subject to the claims paying ability of the issuing company.
3-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.